Everybody, I hope you are doing amazing. I hope you are absolutely killing it at life. This is the Christmas podcast episode. So welcome. Welcome to one of the most popular episodes of basically every year. I chuck this one out. Ooh, fluff. I chuck this one out and always ask the community and Instagram and TikTok and all those fun places, but mainly the Discord community, because that's obviously where clients are and people get a little bit priority in the Discord. Basically, what do you struggle with this time of year? Is there anything particular that you struggle with? And yeah, they always come back with roughly the same problems or issues or areas where they typically struggle. This is actually a really fun one because this is the first time that I'm going to be putting this up as a video on Spotify, and you can watch me with that. And so that I don't look directly into your eyes and it looks uncomfortable, it feels uncomfortable when someone is like looking directly at you, I have my podcast, I have my camera just off to the side. Hello, how you doing? But I'm going to be chucking this up on maybe YouTube, but it is definitely going to be going up on Spotify as well because they allow you to do videos now. And because we're doing videos, if you haven't seen it as of yet, check out my pen. And for those of you that are not, I suppose, that you are just listening, I got my friend who makes mechanical pens to, for my 30th birthday, make me a Fitness Genie pen. It has gold flake in the top of it with clear resin, which obviously all you people that are on Spotify at the moment are currently seeing. Wonder if I do this classic thing. Is this what the makeup people do? Anyway, the camera is not doing it justice, but it looks fucking amazing up the top with gold flakes and clear resin across the top. It's obviously gold in the middle. Not real gold, but, you know, that gold plating type of stuff. And then this part, like the wood at the bottom that you actually hold, there's blue resin. You can only just see it a little bit, but there's blue resin in the top of it. And the timber that has been used is 4,000-year-old ancient red gum. And it is insane, and I fucking love it. So we've got some fun things going on. This is going to be my last podcast of the year. Then obviously we come into it in January. We've had some good followers. 50% of people that listened, I'm doing fucking Spotify rap now. 50% of people that listened to the podcast this year, they only found us for the first time this year. And followers have been going up, and that's even while I've been struggling with mental health and business issues and stress and all that stuff. And the podcast hasn't been as good, but we're slowly getting back into it. And the fact that we can grow while it's not good, or like it's not happening, like the podcast is just not happening, I am absolutely in love with that. So thank you to everyone that follows, because obviously you get the notification for when it all goes live. I'm loving all of this. So I'm going to stop rambling because of I love everything that is happening at the moment. And I'm going to try and get to the list of questions and struggles and things that a lot of people do struggle with. And this is coming directly from the Discord community. And as it just so happens, they are typically the most common issues that people have around this time of year. So the first one we're going to get into, which is probably like the biggest thing that people struggle with, and that's FOMO, or fear of missing out. So I've sort of written it in a type of question, but a lot of people do struggle with, oh my God, a lot of people struggle dealing with the fear of missing out when it comes at Christmas times or just the holiday period in general, more social events, and they always seem to be centered around food, particularly Christmas. It's always bring a plate or bring a salad or do this, or people are just over prepping food like all hell. Food is the central theme of things that any social event, particularly over the holidays, seems to be built around. And I said this to someone that is another PT who I mentored for a little bit, but he was out at the pub. They were all having parmas and chips, and he had his meal prep stuff because he's doing bodybuilding prep at the moment. But he found enjoyment in, like, he enjoyed the food that he was having, but he doesn't need a parma and beer to be able to enjoy the moment with his friends. And we just had a cool little chat about that, because I was like, that's exactly the golden ticket that everyone is looking for. To be able to enjoy their food and the moment and not be like, oh man, I'm missing out, I hate this, I have to do this, and throw off their goals. And if it is a hardcore goal that you're wanting, then cool, plan for it, prep for it, absolutely go for it, be obsessed with it, do whatever you want. If your goal is, for example, that bodybuilding prep, then cool, you will have to be obsessed with it. If it is wanting to enjoy life and be a bit more intuitive, then you don't really have to be obsessed with it. You can just let life happen and get into a flow state and just enjoy things as they come. if you end up going one way too much, you'll notice that either you start bloating or the clothes are getting a bit tighter, then cool, we just pull it back a little bit. If you're going the opposite way and you're always tired, you're always hungry, and you're always cranky, maybe we need to give you a little bit more food. And we just judge it based off that. But the fear of missing out is a real thing for a lot of people. The thing I always love to say, this one will probably be the longest one, like the question that I answer. This is difficult because it is so unique to the person of where the fear of missing out comes from. The first thing I always like to say is there will always be more food. You are not going to miss out on any of this food because most people prep a fuckload of food. That is the biggest thing. There will always be food. If the food does run out, normally about 80 to 90% of the food that you will find that is on offer at any social event, you can get most of those foods whenever you want. You just don't look for them because they're marketed. Wow. They're marketed and they're pushed and they are just in your face and they're more tempting at Christmas time or during the holidays because they're just more prevalent. It's like if you drove around in a city full of blue cars and you saw a green one, you'd be like, ooh, green car. Wow, that's fascinating. That's impressive. But you can go get a green car whenever the fuck you want. You can see a green car whenever you want. They're just not as prevalent throughout the year. But then in Christmas, hey, there's all the green cars because everyone's doing their fucking Christmas car and all that stuff. But for the types of food that you want, you can get them at Coles and Woolies, Aldi's. You can get them whenever the shit that you want. They are always on offer. And for the things that aren't always on offer, like homemade dishes by like grandparents or parents, or you go to a different side of the family that you only see at Christmas and they have this one particular thing that you fucking love, then cool, have it. You don't have to have all of it, but you can have it and sit down and enjoy it and go, oh my God, I love that. The other thing, which is what I alluded to before, you are here to enjoy people and the moments. The food is a supplement. That, if I can get one thing across in this episode and just for everyone in general, when you're going out, not even just at holiday times, I'm doing really well. You are there to enjoy the moment and be with people. That is it. We are there to enjoy people. We are there to enjoy the moment. I don't really give a shit how much food you eat, how little food you eat, all that stuff. I want you to enjoy the moment. Because if you have too much food, most of you will know this. If you have too much food, you feel bloated, uncomfortable, and you're just like, oh man, I'm sitting in this moment right now and I cannot concentrate on what people are saying. I can't enjoy it. I am uncomfortable in my body and I feel like I'm going to shit all over the place or I'm going to explode and I feel all these things. You cannot enjoy the moment if you eat too much to the point of discomfort. You also can't enjoy the moment if you are just worrying about how many calories are going to be on that plate and if you're still trying to track, if you are restricting the foods that you're having, which is something we'll get to a bit later. But if you do too much one way or too much the other, you're going to feel likely crap and uncomfortable. If you keep eating and keep going, you will know that it makes you feel like shit. You've done it before. You've been in this situation before. Let's just say Christmas. You've been at Christmas before where you've eaten too much and you go, oh man, why did I do that? That's so much. I'm so uncomfortable. I have to find a bathroom. I can't sit properly. My clothes are now tight. It is a whole thing where it just ruins the day. And we are not there to ruin the day and have the food because it's all about the food. The food is, again, a supplement. It makes the moment better. It enhances the moment. The same way that if you are getting all of your protein intake from foods, then no, you don't need a protein powder because a protein powder is a supplement. If you were always having protein powder and that's the only place that you got your protein from, we would need to adjust that because you're not enjoying any of the foods. You're just pumping protein in. And, you know, you could use a protein powder to get it, like mix it with things and figure that out. But in this sense, it is just all the food that we are having at Christmas time is just a supplement. That is about it. It's just there to enhance the moment. You're not really going to be able to create memories and have fun with your friends or family or whatever if you're worried about the food. And if you get to the point of like you're not worried about food in the slightest, but you eat way too much of it, you'll hit that point of discomfort. You won't be able to enjoy any of the moments because you'll be so uncomfortable within yourself, you can't take your mind to anything else. maybe you won't be able to play backyard cricket because you're like, no, if I move, I will explode. I will explode everywhere. And that's obviously not what we're wanting. You might not be able to sit down or watch the cricket or do whatever the fuck, you know, normal Australians do. I don't watch a cricket. It's boring as fuck. But you may not be able to do the things that you want to do because you believe that you're going to be missing out on food, even though it's always available. It's always there. And you can't miss out on it because if it is something that you desperately want, then you just get a plate and you go get it and then you have it. You don't have to have all of it. It's just tick the box, I had that thing. Which takes me to my next point of dealing with FOMO. When there's food around, it is often a smorgasbord and an all-you-can-eat buffet. Treat every eating event, I'm going to say, because some people go to lunch and then they go to someone else's place for dinner. If you're like me and you come from parents of divorce and then you're also dating slash engaged slash married to someone with parents of divorce, you've got four fucking families that you've got to go to at a minimum. There's going to be a lot of eating. But you have lunch, you have dinner, you try to keep a rough eating schedule, and then there's just going to be, obviously, little treats and things that maybe aren't on offer every year, but you can still tick off the box and go, ooh, good, I had one of fucking Auntie Donna's thingamajiggy. Call that a fucking comedy group on that one. But it's going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet. So treat every single eating event like an actual meal. You get a plate and you fill it up like a real lunch and a real dinner. You find the protein and you put that on there because the meat is typically the best of all the meals that we're eating. So you find the meat, you chuck that on there. By the way, when you have your plate and you've filled it up with fucking everything, eat the protein first. Don't eat all the carbs and stuff, all of it around it. Eat the protein first because you will feel fuller quicker and you will more than likely enjoy your food a hell of a lot more because it will slow you down. And it means either A, you won't be as bloated or feeling shit because the sugar just immediately hits you and you go, fuck, that was amazing. Oh my God, I want to be doing... It will slow you down just a little bit to eat the protein first. Then, once you've found your protein, you've got that on the plate, then fill it with things that you will really enjoy. Find the big ticket items that you really want to enjoy and sit down and just do that. Be with the food and enjoy it and eat that. Fill up the plate as if it is an actual meal. Don't fill it up like, oh, I'm going to have a little bit of this and a bit of this. Oh, I don't know what that is. I'll have this. Okay, cool. And then you end up needing almost like two plates because you go, I'll smash this plate first and then I'll come back and grab the others. You're already setting yourself up to go, I'm going to fucking inhale this food and go get seconds. I don't want you to immediately, and this helps a lot of people, of just wait 15 minutes before you get seconds. Just wait 15 minutes. If you immediately finish your food and you finish your plate and you get up to leave, the way I like to describe it is you already have momentum for eating. So if you are already in the momentum of eating, it is so much easier to just go, yep, that was awesome, keep eating. Almost like stand up as you're finishing your plate and walk over and go get seconds. Give it 15 minutes. Give your body a chance to digest and see how it feels. See how your body feels. And this is where a lot of people get sort of fucked up because a lot of the advice around this time is listen to your body, which I agree with. But most people don't have the experience of actually listening to their body and what does it need. They listen to their emotions, which they then justify with logic. That's the difference that a lot of people, they think are listening to their body, but they're really not. And in order to listen to your body, we need to give it time to digest and give us signals of what is happening. If you finish your first plate, wait 15 minutes. Fuck, wait 10 minutes. I don't really care. Just don't keep the momentum going of finishing food and then immediately getting up to go get others. Give it 10 to 15 minutes and sit with it. Because you'll notice when you start, if you are someone who does classically overeat at this time, it will hit you out of fucking nowhere. And you, as you're eating, you'll go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to finish this. And then you get like maybe two or three mouthfuls in and then it just hits you like that. And you go, oh my God, I feel so sick. And then you have to sit down, have a nap. You have to try and go for a walk, but you're feeling like that bloody... what is it? The auntie from Harry Potter that gets blown up to a balloon and ends up flying into the stratosphere. You end up feeling like that. And it doesn't lead to good feelings. I want you to give your body a chance to actually go, hey, we have a little bit more room left. So then you go, okay, I can probably have one or two more things. I'm going to go get the things that I really, really want and really enjoy. So then you go and get them. And then if you are completely full, you haven't completely overeaten, and you've only eaten the big ticket items that you loved and did have that fear of missing out on. And if it is an awesome thing, it's probably going to disappear. But if it does disappear, but you've already eaten it, then fantastic. You don't have to go through the temptation of seconds or do I have it? Do I leave it? Someone else has taken that opportunity away from you. Awesome. Let them. Because we didn't want seconds anyway. Because we knew it was probably going to make us feel like shit. This is the fun part of what is the gray area. It's not all or nothing to the point of don't eat any food, because if you have it, you're going to lean into the all mentality of basically binging. We don't want to do any of that. We want to have what looks like a normal meal. And then there's going to be dessert. There's nothing wrong with that. There's going to be some snacks and things in between, but do that for lunch, do it for dinner, do it for any social event that you're at. If there are seconds or you're wanting seconds, wait 10, 15 minutes. Give your body a chance to tell you what's going on. And then once it knows what's going on, it's either, hey, we've got nothing left, and you go, whew, glad I didn't have that second plate because I would be throwing up right now. Or, yeah, we've got room for one more thing. And if there's nothing there that really floats your boat, it's just eating for the sake of eating, then leave it. If there's something that you really enjoy, go for it. And that's something that is the last part of FOMO. Do shit that you will enjoy. If it is FOMO, why do you have a fear of missing out on shit that you don't like anyway? It is a question that no one asks themselves, but they get there at Christmas and they go, on a normal day, I wouldn't eat 85% of this stuff, but because it's Christmas and everyone is almost like fucking COVID lockdowns going for toilet paper, I feel that I have to compete with this and I have to get everything before it all goes. And I know a lot of people come from a scarcity mindset, particularly with food. I nearly went on a tangent in terms of where that comes from. But for right now, we can just say most of us have a scarcity mindset when it comes to food. If you didn't want what someone was hunting anyway, then let them go for it. And you can spend more time on the things that you enjoy. You will not enjoy binging to the point of discomfort. You will not enjoy not having any food at Christmas. This is where the all or nothing gets really fucked up, because you don't get anything that you want when you lean all or nothing. You lean all in, you were so uncomfortable, you didn't enjoy the food because you were trying to scoff it down, and you ended up getting seconds and you made yourself feel sick. You don't really enjoy the food, you just enjoy the dopamine hit that comes from having the food. I want you to actually sit and enjoy. If you can eat slower, fantastic. But I want you to taste your food. I want you to be with your food and enjoy it. I don't want you to scoff it down to the point of, okay, good, I finished that thing that I fucking love, I better go get more. You're not enjoying it at that time. Why have it in the first place if you're not even tasting it, sitting with it, and actually getting to enjoy it? You don't get to create memories other than, I felt so shit over Christmas, and then when January comes, you go, oh man, now I have to undo all that quote-unquote damage I did at Christmas. What's the point? Lean into the things that you enjoy. If you have a particular protein or dish or whatever, dessert, mine is lemon meringue. If there is a slice of lemon meringue, then I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm getting that. And I will save room for the lemon meringue. I will intentionally not have something else, or I'll have less of all of the things. I will just have slightly less of it so I can have the lemon meringue and not feel shit. Because I am someone that I'm very aware of associations. And if I have lemon meringue every single time and it starts becoming a thing where I have too much of it, where I start to feel sick from it, I will then start to create, or maybe even my gut will start to create an association of, hey, when you eat lemon meringue, we're going to make you feel sick because every time you've had it, it's been way too much. And now we're starting to get that same response whenever we have smaller amounts of it. So I have slightly less so that I can still enjoy my thing. Yeah, I'm going to feel full, but I'm not going to feel bloated and discomfort. Bloated and uncomfortable. There we go. I nearly said discomfortable. You know what? Either one works. Let's go with either of them. But I want you to enjoy your time. This Christmas and all these things, this is going to go sort of counterintuitively to the fear of missing out. All of these things only happen once a year. That means I want you to slow down and enjoy it. If you want to create core memories, you need to be able to slow down to take a mental picture of everything that is happening. It's very hard to create core memories when you are manic and rushing through the day. It all just becomes a blur. But if you slow down and you go, holy shit, I will actually challenge everyone that is listening to this to create a memory at Christmas time. And you will notice that it is rather difficult to slow down. But if you quite literally stop and just look around at everyone or everything around you, it doesn't have to be Christmas. It can be wherever the fuck you want it to be. But it can just be, Levi has puppy dreams in the back. You alright, buddy? Yeah, you're alright. Good boy. You need to slow down to have that core memory. Slow down and literally just look around at everything around you and just take 5 seconds and really see what you were looking at. It sounds stupid, but trust me, give it a go. When you have your food at Christmas, sit down and before you start eating it, sit down and just look around at everyone else and just enjoy the moment that everyone here is relatively happy. People are going through shit. People are going to be, you know, struggling in whatever way. But just look at the smiles on everyone's faces as they're going around and enjoying this moment. And just take 5 seconds. That is all I want you to do. That is how you create memories, by slowing down and being in the moment. When you feel extremely happy in that moment, your brain will then take a snapshot and go, hey, remember when? And that's when it will come in and you will have that core memory. But if you are constantly racing through your days, through your food, and just trying to get it all done, it will blur into one because your brain doesn't have a time or an opportunity to take that mental picture and go, hey, remember when? It's more than likely going to go, hey, I don't know what happened, but you feel shit now. We can't handle what's happening right now. So give your body a chance to catch up to everything that is happening and give your brain a chance to take all of this in as a memory. Everything about this can be so much better when you slow down and just enjoy the moment that you are in. You're not going to miss out on food because it's typically available every single fucking day of the year. It's just all of it is right here, right now. Pick the big things that you really want to be eating and go for them. Make a normal plate of it. Make a normal looking lunch. Make a normal looking dinner. Have a normal looking dessert. Don't go overboard one way or the other because you won't have a chance to enjoy the moment. Everything about the food is a supplement. Everything about the people and the moments is what we're actually here for. No one goes, oh man, remember when we ate so much food and it did this and this? And it's like, yeah, I felt like shit. That may happen once, but if it happens every goddamn year, then we've got an issue and we've got a problem because it's like, oh, well, we better cook more because so-and-so is going to eat the whole goddamn thing. Then it just becomes a running joke at that point. Sit with it, slow down, and enjoy this event that happens once a year. The food is every day, every year. But seeing these people might be once a year. It might be the last time that you see them. We're not 100% sure. But moments like that do happen. So I want you to enjoy the people in the moment that are around you because the food is just a supplement and we can get it whenever the fuck we want it. But we can't get these moments back from the people that we are with. The next thing is the lack of a schedule slash routine. If there's time off work or just being out of your normal routine, most people find that they struggle with the consistency with food as well. And this is big. This is for me as well. Like I'm not above the law of being human. The way to sort of fix this, because how it sort of went in the Discord and then how it goes for most people at this time, is I don't have a routine or something to get up for. So I typically just sort of laze about the day and just, you know, I'll have lunch if I remember to have lunch. Or if I don't remember food at all, I'll just have dinner and then I go, oh, I'm so hungry, and then I'll snack at night. And it typically just takes you back to unhealthy habits when you're out of that routine. The thing that helps me the most is finding a morning routine and sticking with my morning routine. I don't wake up, I don't set an alarm during my time off. To be fair, this is the first time in, this is the second Christmas in 9 years. This is the second Christmas in about 9 years that I've actually taken time off work, apart from like the, you know, the weekend stuff, like actually saying I'm taking 3 weeks off. This is the second time I've done that in 9 years. So it's still new to me, but I don't set an alarm when I have time off. My body will just wake me up, and when I feel like waking up, that's when I get up. But the task of waking up, when I wake up, whenever the fuck that is, I'll have breakfast. I'll typically try to find protein in the morning, because if I don't have a protein-filled breakfast, it happened this morning, I just had two pieces of toast, I was hungry 2.5, 3 hours later, which, you know, on holidays might take me towards lunchtime. But normal days leaves me 2 hours, 2.5 hours before lunchtime, and then I'm fucking starving. So I don't set an alarm, and there's no routine of like, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m, I'm going to go for a walk, I'm going to do these things. I literally go, when I wake up, I'm going to have breakfast and go to the gym. Everything else from there is a free-for-all. But the only thing I have in that morning is I'm going to get up and have breakfast and then go to the gym. There are mornings where I don't feel like going to the gym. And guess what? I don't go to the gym on those days. But I go to the gym whenever the fuck I wake up. If it's just 10 minutes on the treadmill, then cool. I've done that thing in the morning. If it is a full workout, then amazing. I'm feeling good and putting my holiday intentional bulking to work. And that's fine. I'm just extra fueled up for my sessions. It's not about smashing the session out or burning calories or making up for damage or anything like that. I go to the gym because it's something that wakes me up. And when I've done that, I go, oh, well, I'm up and I'm energized. And I said I was going to do the gutters. I might as well do the gutters before lunch because I'm still moving. I've got the momentum of doing something. I'm going to do the gutters. And that's how I get things done around the house. Then most of the time I have lunch, I sit down, I chill out, and that is me done for the day. Then I have from like 2 p.m. until I go to bed at like 10 p.m. I've got 8 hours to do whatever the fuck I want with. If that is continuing to do like garden work or do, you know, write my book, or if it is to just prep D&D stuff, if it's to play video games, it doesn't fucking matter. But I have something that I start the morning with, and it is a purpose for the start of the day. And that is it. Even if you go to the gym and then go, yep, done. Or you go for a walk and then you go, done. Cool. You still did something. Having that exercise early in the morning is also going to help out with hunger cues through the rest of the day. If you can stay planned with your food, I would like that. You don't have to meal prep by any means, but I like knowing what I'm doing for food so I don't have to think about it. I'm very much a do it now so I don't have to think about it later. Because for me, and you may find this as well, I find it more mentally taxing and it is more of a pain in the ass for me to figure out what am I going to do for lunch or dinner or breakfast? What am I going to do for that meal as I'm about to cook it and prep it? I go, I could do this, but no, I don't have any pasta. Okay, well, I could do it with rice. No, it doesn't really go with rice. I could be doing that. And trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to be doing, that's way more mentally taxing than going, I don't know, I'll do nachos for lunch tomorrow. Fuck it. Yeah. Go to the shops while I'm at the gym and get stuff for nachos, come home. Cool. That's dinner, which will most likely be lunch the next day as well. Done. I like things to be incredibly simple. And turning your brain off is an amazing thing. But are you really turning your brain off by not thinking about anything? Because then you'll go, oh, I should have gone to the gym. I should have done this. I said that I was going to be doing this other thing. I haven't even prepped meals. Now, what am I going to have for lunch? Now I've got to figure this out for dinner. How is that relaxing? How is that recharging you? How is that going to give you anything that resembles time off? It doesn't. That's why I like having or sticking to a rough routine. It doesn't have to be timed, but I wake up and I exercise or do something. So then I go, right, well, I'm not doing it because I need to hit this particular thing. Sometimes I wake up and go, I'm just going to play video games. And I do that for 3 hours until lunchtime. And then I have lunch and go, okay, I feel like moving. I feel like going to the gym. I feel like doing something outside. It is most likely I feel like doing this thing, but I don't have to tick a box to be productive. It's just I want to do that. There were days last year sometime where I got sick, but also it just so happened to coincide with time off anyway. I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey on the PlayStation, and it was all Greek mythology and all this stuff, but Assassin's Creed as well. And I was like, holy fuck, I love this. There were days where I woke up and I played that right through for the entire day until Beth basically just wanted to do things. We took the dogs out to the oval. We got them a run. We did stuff, but there were days where I didn't get out of the house other than, you know, take the dogs for a walk or just to go get food. And I played video games all day and it was the best fucking thing I've ever done. And I felt awesome for it. I didn't feel amazing sitting there on the couch and going, oh man, I feel, because I wasn't judging myself for doing that. It was like, I feel like doing this and turning my brain off. This is turning my brain off from everything. But I still had an idea for what I was doing for dinner or lunch because I had a rough routine because I don't like to be thinking about things later because I know that it's mentally taxing. One of my most common quotes that you'll hear me say is procrastination delayed is procrastination multiplied. Anxiety delayed is anxiety multiplied. There is nothing more true than that. If you delayed making this decision, well then guess what? You have to worry about it for this entire time until you get to the decision and then go, oh, now I have to do that thing that I procrastinated on. You either worried about it even more until you got to that moment because you delayed on it or you procrastinated on it. And now you're at this moment of crunch time. What do we do? Ah, I can't be fucked. I'll just get Uber Eats again. Okay, cool. You've had Uber Eats or takeaway or something 4 days out of the last six on top of all this holiday stuff. Like, is that going to make you feel awesome? Is it going to make you feel shit? If you're content with doing that, then by all means, keep fucking doing it. But if it makes you feel shit and you don't like it, then do something about it. And if you enjoy doing that, then cool. How can you do that, but perhaps in a healthier way? That's really what we're looking at here. So for the lack of schedule or the lack of routine, we want to basically create a version of that for ourselves. Wake up and feel what you're doing, but have something to do in the morning so that it motivates you to do whatever the fuck it is that you want. And if you wake up and don't feel like going to the gym or going for a walk or all those things, then cool, you don't have to. What are you doing for dinner and lunch today? Have you sorted that out? No. Okay, well, maybe your thing this morning is to just get up and go to the shops and do some food shopping. Something to get you going. Because I know almost every single person listening to this, if you don't do something in a day, you will feel like shit. You'll be like, oh, I wasted the day. Well, you don't have to waste the day. You can do something about it. It doesn't mean it has to be all of the productive things. It just means, hey, I'm going to take care of myself for tomorrow. I'm going to set food up for tomorrow. My goal for today is to get the kids out or get the puppies out or to do whatever it's going to be. It doesn't have to be a massive routine. It can just be basically a morning purpose, a thing to wake up for. And I like doing it early in the morning so that you don't procrastinate on it and so that you can just enjoy your day as it's happening. It's done, it's out of the way. Enjoy the rest of the days however the fuck you want. Go do it all before it gets hot, particularly because it's going to be summer and fucking scorching. So do things before it gets hot. And then you can spend the rest of the day sitting under the AC playing Assassin's Creed AC. So yeah, allow yourself to rest and relax and zone out. This is time that we should be using to recharge. So give yourself permission to do that. Organize and prep food. Stay one day ahead because it's less mental energy to organize it than it is to panic last minute. Simples. But find something to do in the morning. And if you don't feel motivated to keep things going after that, then cool. But we can still stay roughly on track with lunch and dinner and just having decent meals. Because it's not about doing things the most optimal way. It's making sure you're not doing them in a way that is going to be making you feel worse. So we don't always have to be trying to achieve perfection with it, but it doesn't mean that we're actively seeking to make our life worse or make our day harder, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. I can't really check with you because we're watching a podcast. Well, we're listening to a podcast. Well, I'm probably watching. I forgot that I'm doing that, but hey. The other thing that I want to run over is, so what was that? That was FOMO. That was the lack of schedule. Is the other end of the spectrum, which is how to avoid unhealthy behaviors on the other end of the spectrum, like over-exercising to burn off the food or over-restricting food or calories because you feel like you've screwed up or fucked up or you're trying to make up for it in some sort of way. The absolute worst case situation from over-consuming is that you will feel bloated and uncomfortable, which is going to pass in a few days anyway. That is the absolute worst case situation. No matter who is listening to this, that is the worst case situation for anyone. You You can't fuck up your year or your month's worth of results in a week. Even if you just lost, I had to get these numbers ready before. Even if you just lost 1 kilo of fat this past week, in order to put that back on and then gain 1 kilo of fat, you'd need to consume 15,400 calories above your maintenance calories. So not just 15,000 calories as is, you would need to consume your maintenance calories and then on top of that, 15,400 calories. That is fucking heaps. Almost no one is going to be able to do that. If you lost 1 kilo of fat in that week, that means that you were in a deficit of 1,100 calories, which I realize I've fucked up the numbers, so bear with me as I grab another calculator up, which means, oh my God, this is actually going to be fucking insane. These are crazy numbers. You know what? I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and make it even better, but then I'll do the real numbers at the end. That made no sense to you because you have no concept of what I'm looking at, but bear with me for a second. You would need to consume 15,400 calories above your maintenance calories. Most people that are listening to this are in a deficit. If you are in a deficit, you're likely in a deficit of around 500 calories per day, which is about 1 pound of fat per week, about 450 calories. Oh my God, 450 grams of fat per week. That's typically what we're looking for. I'm looking for about that 500. Oh my God, I'm looking for about 500 grams a week for most people. If you were in that deficit and you'd already lost a kilo this week, you'd have to consume nearly 19,000 calories on top of your maintenance calories to put that 1 kilo back on and then gain 1 kilo of fat. That is it. To gain the kilo that you lost and then put another kilo on top of that, you would have to consume 19,000 calories on top of your maintenance calories, which is damn near fucking impossible to do. There are YouTube challenges where people try to eat The Rock's 10,000 calorie cheat day in a day, and they struggle. And that is spread out, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, desserts, everything. And they, most of them fail because it's just too much. Is it possible? Yeah, it is possible to do 10,000 calories because people do it. People like The Rock, they do that. For most general population, which is us, which is majority of people, I fall, as a personal trainer, I fall into general population, which is crazy to think about. But I fall into general population. We are not going to do that. It's going to be extremely difficult to do that. And what I said before of like, oh, I fucked up the numbers, was if you lost 1 kilo of fat to then get out of that deficit and put 1 kilo of fat on, you would have to consume more than 19,000. You would have to consume close to 22,000. Because the deficit, the daily deficit of 500 calories is meaning that you're going to lose about 450 grams in that week if you do 500 calorie deficit every single day. In order to lose 1 kilo of fat, you would need to be in a calorie deficit of 1,100 every single day. I did it for 4 weeks. It fucking sucked. I knew that I was in a massive deficit because I was hungry all the time. My sleep wasn't amazing and I was getting cranky. And that was just 4 days into it. I did it for 4 weeks and I was like, thank fuck this is over. I went back to maintenance and it was all good. I did that purely just to test out. A lot of people come to me and go, hey, I've done 1,200 calorie diets and their maintenance is normally somewhere around 2,300. So I was like, I equated it to my numbers and went to an 1,100 calorie deficit. It fucking sucked. It was the worst thing in the world. I could have just done it slower and enjoyed my time and gotten to the exact same thing because I had to reverse diet the whole fucking thing. It was a pain in the ass. I didn't like it. Shit experiment, but at least I know how people feel now. So you would need to consume, just to wrap that up in a neat little package, you would need to consume 22,000 calories above your maintenance calories if you were to put on basically 2 kilos of fat. That is how goddamn impossible it is to fuck anything up over this holiday period. To help avoid the over-exercise and over-restriction to make up for it, I typically get my clients to realize that they have a completely different lifestyle. They've changed their lives, and they've gotten to where they are because of their lifestyle. They've had days not tracking with friends and family, and guess what? They're still here. They are still alive. They are still enjoying life. We remember moments more than we remember numbers and calories and fucking any of that digital shit. We will remember the people and the moments, which is why I'm so big on don't worry about tracking through Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff. Just be with the people and enjoy them. That is it. We don't know when we're going to be able to get the next memory with someone. We don't know if it's going to be our last memory with that person. So fucking enjoy it. Why are we going to be stressing about calories or what the scale is going to be and all these things if this is the last moment that we will spend with someone? Is that really what we want them thinking about as it is their last memory? As it is our last memory? No, fuck that. We want to enjoy it. We don't want to get to the point where we make that moment uncomfortable, like binging to the point of discomfort, as I said before, or over-restricting to the point of, I'm not going to have any of this because I'm trying to lose weight. Guess what? You have the rest of your fucking life to lose weight. And then if you drop dead 2 days from now, well then guess what? You didn't get to enjoy all the stuff that you did at Christmas. So you've done it for nothing. We want to be able to do it. We want to be able to do these things to enjoy life. That is the ultimate goal that I'm wanting for every single person that is listening to this. I just want you to enjoy life. There is not going to be a number on the scale. There is not going to be a number on the phone. There is not going to be a magic calorie number or weight that you will hit that will help you be happy. I have had people stress themselves out and feel like they're working a part-time job, damn near fucking killing themselves, putting in blood, sweat, and tears to try and hit a number on the scale. Doesn't matter. They're still not happy. They could lose 10 kilos. And this happens for every single client that signs up. They go, oh, I'll be happy when I hit 90 kilos. Like, cool. We get them to 89 and they go, you know, maybe a bit more, but let's go for 85. We get them to 84. They go, I thought I'd feel a bit different. Like, it's awesome that clothes are fitting differently, but, and I can fit into old clothes and that's awesome. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe at 80, I'll feel a bit different. Cool. When I was in that scenario of chasing money, I was the most miserable that I had been in my life. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the calories. It's not about any of that shit. It doesn't matter if I have a $6 million business or I have a $1 million business. It doesn't fucking matter. What am I going to do with all that excess? Nothing. I'm going to likely spend it on my family so I can spend more time with them. But guess what? I can just not stress myself to make as much money as possible and spend more time with them. I can just cut out the middleman of having to kill myself to get all this extra money to then spend it with my family when I could just cut out the middleman and spend time with my family. I've still got all my basic needs met. I can just be present because I decide to be present. I have that ability to do that. Went to therapy and spent a fuckload of money to be able to do it, but I have that ability now. And I'm not letting anyone take that away from me. So, your lifestyle will dictate where you go, which is why most people sign up because they go, oh, I've lost weight in all these millions of ways before, but I've never managed to keep it off. A very, very high majority of clients create a new lifestyle. I've got some people that just want, you know, fixed shoulders and just lose weight and fit into this dress and do that. And that's fine. I'm happy to do that. Because at least it's with me and I can give them a sort of look into the future to go, hey, we're going to get you this goal. When you get out of it, this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. If you want to sustain it, I can at least plant that seed in there to go like, hey, just fucking, yes, we're getting this goal, but do this when we finish so that you don't feel like shit later. Whether they do or not, that's up to them. But I want you to enjoy things. The absolute worst case from here is you don't make memories and it all just becomes a blur and you go, man, Christmas fucking sucked. Didn't really get to see my friends or family. Or I can't remember what they were talking about because I wasn't really there. I was focusing on the calories. I was focusing and worried about the food. And it takes you out of all of it. And for what? For nothing. I don't have a single client that is above the laws of biology. This is just all biology, physiology, fucking the laws of thermodynamics. Not a single person is unique or special enough to be above those laws. I haven't worked with any extraterrestrials. Extraterrestrials? Terrestrials? Huh. I don't think I know how to say that word. I'm pretty sure it's terrestrial, right? Let's have a look at this. I think I'm about to... Terrestrial. There you go. I do know how to say the word right. Look at that. It's a Christmas miracle. See? Love that. I should have paused it and then, you know, cut out that bit and made myself seem smarter, but fuck it. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to show you that this is what reality is like. This is what life is like. You don't have to be perfect hitting your numbers. You don't have to be perfect knowing how to pronounce a fucking word. As long as it's there and people know roughly what you're talking about, then fantastic. That's what we're going for. Oh, if it's good enough, it's good enough. Am I right? So, yeah. What are these last two things that I've got here? For the, like avoiding the unhealthy behaviors of the over-restriction and things, the last two things that I've got written on here would be, why would you give up your life for a fucking number on a scale or a little number on your phone that says you've hit a target or you've stayed under a target? Is it really worth it? Why would you choose to give the power of how happy you can be to a little number on a computer and let that run your life? It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And, you know, we can see where all of these associations are going to be coming from, but do we want to live the rest of our life that way? That's going to be the big question. And if not, then something's going to have to give and we're going to have to change it in some sort of way. The biggest issue for a lot of people is being able to trust yourself with food. And I can do a whole nother podcast episode on that. But you will have to have times in your life where you don't track, where you don't do these things, where you don't do these methods. And even if you've been doing it for most of your life, we're going to have moments where we basically test the theory of what happens if I don't. Because we know what happens if you do. If you lean into the unhealthy habits one way or the other, over-restriction or binging or whatever, we know what happens when you do. You feel like shit, no matter what end of the spectrum that you're at. The result of doing the all or nothing, or leaning into the all of both ends of the spectrum, is you feel like shit. We know that. That is the known thing that we do. What we don't know is how do you feel if you don't do that? Which is the biggest part of what I do for most coaching for every single person, which is, I wonder what it's like if you don't binge. I wonder what it's like if you have this. And it's obviously more convoluted than that to be like, hey, maybe don't binge and see how you feel. It's a lot more complex than that, but for the simplicity of this analogy, let's go with that. But it is, I wonder what it's like if you don't have a second plate of dinner for Christmas. We've had breakfast, we've had snacks, we've had lunch, we've had snacks, you've had dinner, and you're pretty full. But instead of getting up immediately, I wonder what happens if you give it 15 minutes. I wonder what happens if you don't have a second thing of dessert. I wonder what happens if you only have a little bit less, if you have 20% less of the full plate that you're holding with both hands and struggling to get over to your table. I wonder what happens if you have just a little bit less. Run that experiment for yourself. If everyone can do that and have the curious mindset to lean into that, to go, I wonder what would happen if I did XYZ. You will start to become so much more efficient and achieve so many more goddamn goals, and you would enjoy your life a lot more if you just went, I wonder if, and you took action on that to run the experiment to see how it would feel. But no one does, because it's more comfortable to be uncomfortable. And a lot of people go, oh, I don't really want to change my life and do these things and track calories or go to the gym or have a day off from the gym or not track calories. I really like having the control of all of these things. It's like, I wonder what would happen if you didn't do that. Well, why would I try that out? Because I'm uncomfortable doing what I'm doing at the moment. A lot of people pretend that they are comfortable doing what they're doing. But if you zoom out and go, like, are you happy doing what you're doing? The answer would more than often be no. And it's like, okay, well, if you're not happy, why are you continuing to do things that keep you in this, I'm not happy, and I'm a bit uncomfortable, but I'm not so uncomfortable to the point where I want to change? It's like, well, you're not happy. So let's do something about it. Let's try the opposite. Yeah, but I'm not at that point where like enough is enough. I'm not at breaking point yet. Like, okay, doing what you're doing in your life and your behaviors and your beliefs and your everything about you, do you believe you are going to reach a point where you are happy? doing exactly what you were doing if nothing changes? And the scary answer for a lot of people is no. It will reach a breaking point. Which is the unfortunate thing of the amount of people I end up working with. They work with me because they are at or just before breaking point. And I would love it if a lot of people worked with me to go, you know what? Yeah, I'm not happy. I just want to get a bit better. I just want to see if I can fix this little thing. I just want to see if I can do this, because if I don't change anything, I know in 5 years I will be at breaking point. I would love to work with more proactive people, but, and that's not to say the people I work with are not proactive. They absolutely are. But most people reach out to me or find me or want to lose weight by any coach or any means when they hit an uncomfortable point, because it hits that emotional threshold where they go, okay, this is bad. It needs to fix. It's like people with back pain. If they go, oh, it's tolerable, like I can't do most things and it limits me most days, but I can still get up and go to the toilet and sit on the couch and, you know, kind of do work. I just can't really stand for long or sit down for long or do most things in my life. But it's not bad. And it's like, okay, well, maybe we should fix it now before it does get bad and we have to undo all of the things of you neglecting your injured back. Let's do it now, because that way we can save time and money by not having to undo the things that you did to your back by neglecting it. We could just start from here. We could just start from right now and just work on the things to improve it from now, instead of getting to this point and then letting it get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then having to spend even more time and money to undo that, to get back to where you were, to then start to get better. I would love if people had that realization to go, oh, fuck, yeah, my life is, it's a content life. And if you are content with your content life, then fantastic. But if you feel that your content life is moving in the opposite direction, meaning you will be more unhappy in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years by doing exactly what you're doing, then it's not really a content life. It's an unhappy life. It's just a ticking time bomb for when is that going to go off and what reaction is that going to spark? Hopefully it is a program like mine or a different coach or someone else that you've got in mind to help you move through that. But if not, it's going to blow up in your face and it's going to be really fucking ugly. Trust me on that. So the last part, the last question or thing that I'm going to touch on for this holiday period is how to allow yourself to not be so strict and be okay with things not going to plan. Is, and this is sort of ties into the one that I was talking about before of over-restrictions. How you give yourself permission to do those things is by realizing that you can't really fuck anything up. Literally nothing can go wrong. No one listening to this, particularly if you have a lifestyle where you do get your steps in or you do go to the gym or you are typically mindful with food and in a routine, what does it matter if you take a week or a day or a couple weeks out of the entire year to just go, eh, I'm not going to worry about it as much? What does it matter if you spend 80 to 90% of your life or your year living a healthy lifestyle? Then you can just keep doing what you're doing. That's why I don't stress about food, because I know I'm going to go to the gym, whether it's 3 or 4 or 5 times per week. Sometimes it's even 6 because I'm feeling good. But it's somewhere between 3 and 5. And I know I'm not going to eat pizza every day. I know I'm not going to eat HSPs every day. I know I'm going to find the protein and do that because I feel better when I do those things. I let my lifestyle speak for itself. So that's why I'm okay having a pizza or HSP or all those random things, even if it's a full week in a row, because I have it a week in a row and go, fuck, I feel bad. I feel bloated. I feel like this. I feel like that. I need to, quote unquote, get back on track. And on track is really just back to my lifestyle, doing things that I like and that I enjoy, because that's what life is, just doing things that you enjoy. Drink break. So, like I said before, no one listening to this, like literally no one, even if by some Christmas miracle this episode goes viral and I get a million people listening to it, no one is so special or unique that they are above the laws of biology. I want everyone to give themselves permission to do whatever that makes you feel good this Christmas, as long as it's not fucking illegal. I'm going to parentheses that. Bunch of people just out doing meth. Be like, this makes me feel amazing. The bugs under my skin are awesome. Maybe don't take it that far, But do the things that make you feel good that are legal and that you can do safely. Jesus. The for some people, doing the things that make you feel good is going to be letting yourself have the dessert because it tastes amazing and it's awesome and you haven't had it in so long. For some people, that's going to be a massive fucking win. For other people, it's going to be just have one or just have lunch or just have dinner or make the plate and have it more proteiny. Stick with a rough nutrition routine. There is no one right answer. It's just what makes you feel better. And I don't want you to do all or nothing for one end of the spectrum or the other in terms of health. I just want you to do what makes you feel good because that's what life is. Doing things that make us feel good, doing things that allow us to enjoy life. Bring the joy back into it. So if you need to give in, if you need to lean into cravings, then learn how to do that. Might as well. And if it is you maybe leaning into cravings a little bit too much, then hey, pull it back a little bit and just go, I'm going to focus on the people and the moments and the events. That's really what I want to do for this Christmas. Then we do that. But no matter what will help you the most these holidays, I want you to realize that you're still here. You get to enjoy life and everything that it has to offer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because in 21 days or like thereabouts off the top of my head, 22, 3, 4, I don't fucking know, about 3 weeks, it'll be January. And we'll all be going back to work or forgotten everything that happened. We're not going to be worrying about, oh, I did all these things and I ate too much and did this and that. Most of us are going to say, oh, yep, got to work off the holiday pudding or this, that, whatever. Then, cool. Everything, by the time it reaches the end of January, you'll be back to where you were anyway. And that is an absolute worst case. That's not even like a... Most people are relatively back where they were first 2 weeks of January. And then they've got the rest of their year. So don't worry too much about the holiday period and like going off the rails and doing all those things. If you've got a shit lifestyle and you're going off the rails, then cool. You're not going off the rails by that much percentage-wise. You're just leaning more into your shit lifestyle. If you've got a good lifestyle and you lean into a week of eating and doing all the things, then cool. You don't have to worry because you'll get back to your lifestyle when you're back at work and you're doing the things and you'll be routine and structured. You literally can't fuck this up. You have to eat so many more calories than you think over the holiday period to fuck things up. The one thing I do want people to do is just do things that you enjoy, make some memories, focus on the people. The food is always a supplement. The food is always something that can enhance a moment, but it will never make a moment unless you have stupid amounts of money and you go somewhere to get food. But then even then, the moment of traveling to that point to experience a restaurant or food or whatever in a different city or nation or whatever, that's going to be the moment. You being here and then tasting the food and then going, oh wow, holy shit, this is amazing, like a fucking Michelin restaurant. It's like, yeah, the food will be the main thing, but you will notice the, if you give yourself a chance to notice, that is, and like take that core memory sec, look around. Who are the people that you're sitting with? This is amazing. Holy crap, this moment is awesome. This is never going to happen again. This is crazy. Then you'll be talking about the food, but you'll be like, oh my God, and the cutlery was this and that, and the napkins were so expensive. We walked in and there was like a dude that was doing... You're not going to go, oh my God, how was your experience with this Michelin restaurant? And you go, the food was amazing. It was just the food that I'm going to talk about, and that's it. You will describe the entire event, the entire moment of leading up to the food, and then go, oh my God, the food. You will spend so much more taking in the entire event than just this thing, which is what I want everyone to do for this Christmas or holiday period, is to take in the moment and the people and all those things. It doesn't just have to be food. It is just a supplement to enhance the moment. So yeah, set yourself up to enjoy 2025 and make memories while you can, because we've got a lifestyle that's going to get us what we want. So you don't have to worry about anything because your lifestyle will carry you there. That is it for this holiday Christmas episode. Thank you for joining and thank you for jumping in. For those of you that are listening, if you do want to start the new year off doing things the right way, basically if you resonated with anything that was in this episode, I have a 6-week reset waitlist that is up. We are going to be starting that 6-week reset on the 27th of January, but waitlist members, you can sign up to the waitlist right now. It's my link in bio, or just go to, you know what, just go to link in bio or my Instagram at underscore Travis Murrells, all one word, Murrells. That is the first call off that I have done where it's not at the Fitness Genie. Jesus. _ Travis Murrells. That's me. So you can join the waitlist. You don't have to pay anything or do anything. You just have to give me an email and a fucking first name where I can send more information to and the actual sign up link. Because if you are a waitlist member, you will have 7 days early access to sign up because there are only 30 spots available for this WESET. Wow. There are only 30 spots available for this WESET. And you'll have 7 days early access to sign up, meaning on the 6th of January, waitlist members can sign up. And if you sign up before the 13th of January, meaning just in that week, you will get the 6 weeks for just $299. Australian, by the way. For just $299 for an entire 6 weeks. If you also sign up as a waitlist member, you get fortnightly check-ins with your coach. That's either going to be me or Laura. You also get a one-on-one call to use whenever the fuck you want through the reset. And that can just be at the start to like clarify a whole bunch of things for you and set you on the right start. I'm doing well. Or you can use it at like week 4 or 5 or 6 to really just touch base and go, here's what's going on and this is where we are. That is about $425 worth of value for signing up between the 6th and 13th of January. And the only people who are going to get access to that sign up link and the ability to do that are people who are on the waitlist. And you can join that through my link in bio. You'll see this everywhere, but go to my link in bio, go to Instagram, go to TikTok, go to wherever the fuck, and you will find that there. If you cannot find it anywhere, for some weird reason, and I've set this URL up rather weird, but www.thefitnessgenie.com.au/6WEEK Reset Waitlist. And there is a hyphen between each letter, and it is a capital letter at the start of everything. I know, that's confusing as fuck, right? I'm going to put the link in the Spotify bio. You can find it there, or you can find it in my LinkedIn bio. You don't have to pay anything or do anything. You just have to give me an email to where I can send the sign-up link, and that is about it. 30 spots available. Doors open exclusively to waitlist members on the 6th of January. We're going to focus on healing your relationship with food, and I don't want you to do another crash diet in 2025. You've done way too fucking many of them. I want to heal your relationship with food, with yourself, get you away from the all or nothing mindset, get you away from over-restricting or binging or anything that you grew up with or things that have classically held you back in the past. I'm going to teach you how my clients lose weight and keep it off forever and give you a massive reset for 2025 so that you can just keep doing things that are going to get you away from basically losing weight and putting it all back on. This is how you do it the right way. This is how my clients change their lives and make me redundant so they don't have to pay me a fuckload of money to keep their results. I teach them how to keep their results so they don't have to keep paying me. If you want more info on that or anything, link in bio or just www.thefitnessgenie.com.au. All info will be there. I'll also chuck some links below here in the Spotify notes thingy. But if you're on Spotify and watching, thank you all for watching and joining in. If you're just listening, then thank you for listening and supporting and all that stuff. If you love this episode, like, share, comment, insert YouTube, fucking like and subscribe, all that stuff. If you could follow, that would be amazing. If you haven't left a 5-star review, please feel free to leave it now because that helps. Actually, I didn't realize how much they help. We get seen by a lot of people on the homepage after someone leaves a 5-star review. So if you do that, you will have my Christmas thanks. In the meantime, I hope you're all doing amazing. I hope you're all living awesome lives. If you have questions on any of this or you just really want to reach out and just have a chat to figure out if something or some sort of coaching or even the reset is going to be right for you, I'm more than happy to answer questions through my Instagram DMs. Just reach out. I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to do all that stuff. I'm not going to hard sell you. I'm just going to give you all the information. You're a fucking adult. You can decide what you want to do. That is it. Thank you all very much. Have an awesome Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. All that fun stuff. And that is it for the podcast of 2024. I'll see you all bright, fresh, early, and ready to go in January of 2025. See you all then.